Morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Masechta, daf Tezvav. We have to finish up the first parak of the Masechta, which we'll do right now, and then we will start the second. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned Zeich Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We are right in the middle of the Amud. We left ourselves off yesterday at the two dots. Question that we finished off yesterday with is if you are living somewhere else outside of Eretz Yisrael, and you find that you have a need for rain, but it's not the winter, so and you have to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain. So even if it's a community, do you treat yourself like a tzibur? Do you treat yourself like a yachid? The Gemara's conclusion was, at least specific to Ninve, to treat yourself like a yachid. In other words, you're not going to save a saint halamatla bracha. You're not going to change the ninth bracha Shmoneh Esrei, but you'll insert your petition in Shomei Tefillah. That was the Gemara's conclusion yesterday. And as I mentioned yesterday, then it ensues a very lengthy discussion amongst all the later generations in terms of what if perennially you have a need for rain at a different season. Does that mean you change your time? Your v'sein tol matar, and that was the major discussion off the Gemara. B'sheni matin im chashecha v'chamisha kol yom ibnei kavod haShabbos. Okay, stores are to be closed. Remember, the Mishnah has described what happened during the third series of fasts. Okay, let's refresh ourselves. There are three sets of fasts. There's the first three, and then the second three, and then the last seven. Okay, and each one of them gets more intense, based on the fact that if there's obviously a need for a second set and a third set, obviously that means that the situation is getting more desperate. So therefore, there is going to be an intensification of each series of fasts. The third series, the last seven, so the stores would close. Even the markets, the food stores would close. And the Sheni Matin Im Chashecha, which literally translates that on Monday, you open it a little bit, like incline. You open a little bit as it gets dark, and then Chamishi call Yom Mikvar Shabbos. And now Thursday they can open up, because remember, on Thursday, it's we're a day away from Shabbos, right? If I'm not mistaken, I think today's Thursday. So then, right, good confirmation. So that means then that we know Shabbos, we feel Shabbos coming, so even though it's a fast day, but we have to get ready for Shabbos, so therefore the allowance is for the stores to open. Now, Ibailu, the Gemara has a very specific question. So one possibility to explain the Gemara is just like I did. It's either on Monday the stores open up as it gets close to dark, but only a little bit. Meaning, you'll see what I mean. The doors aren't open all the way. Gemara's going to explain that in just a moment. And on Thursday, we'll open the doors all the way, but only Thursday evening. Or no? Is it the Pshat of the Mishnah is on Thursday they'll be open all the way, and they'll be open all day. So Tashma Detanya, so the Gemara says, we'll quote a Bryce, and the Bryce here will give us more detail. V'sheni matin ad ha'erev, uv'chamishi poschin kol hayom kulo, mimnei kavod haShabbos. Okay, so basically the Brisa spells it out. The Brisa says that on Monday you would only open the store a little bit as it gets close to evening. On Thursday it would be open all day. So now just this idea of only open it a little bit. What does that mean? So for example, let's say your store has two doors as an entrance. So on Monday don't open both doors. Open one door. Or let's say you have a bench right in front of your storefront and right in front of your doorway. So a bench right in front of your doorway, so that impedes traffic. So that's good. Meaning then you can even open up both doors and that's not going to be an issue. You won't be offending the fast day by having both doors open because there's already a natural impediment to get into your store. Okay, so the idea that on Monday you are allowed to open the store, but don't open both doors. Okay, right, everyone remember the. I know here in Florida we don't get this, but in New York, you know, sometimes the gate would come halfway down, and that was a good indication of we're open, but not really. Meaning we're somewhat open, we're somewhat closed, and we really don't want you. So you know, and the gate would come halfway down. Avru elu v'lonanu m'mata m'maso uve matan uve binyan uve netiyah. Okay, these days pass and nothing's doing. Meaning, so we went through the first three, the second three, the last seven, and still nothing. So we are now, obviously, I mean, it's now a drought. It's a year of drought. So we have to minimize everything, and we have to minimize our sense of joy. So what do we do in terms of minimizing our sense of joy? So the Mishnah says, we minimize business and construction and building. So Tana. So the Gemara over here quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa gives us more details in terms of what does that mean exactly? What are we curtailing? So Bibinyan, Binyan Shel Simcha. So when we talk about construction, we're not talking about homes and building homes. I mean, you could do that. But if it's Binyan Shel Simcha, but if it's a building of joy, that you have to curtail. Okay, we'll give a better description of what that is in just a moment. And Netiyah Shel Simcha. And planting also. We don't mean planting trees, we mean Binyan Shel Simcha. What are these two things? The Mishnah goes on to explain. Ezu Binyan Shel Simcha Zehabona Bais Chasnas Livno. So building a chuppah for your son. Okay, not a minig nowadays, but in the good old days, your son, you're marrying off a son, so you built him a chuppah. And so that's Binyan Shel Simcha. Oh, Zuhi Netiyah Shel Simcha Zuhanote Avarniki Shel Malachim. And what's planting that's a joyous planting? So the Mishnah over here refers to a tradition that was done for kings. What exactly is this tradition that the Gemara is referring to? So let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi, the first wide line down the page, Rashi writes, Avarniki Shel Malachim Shekacha Inoagim Kishnola Ben Lamelech Hayunotin Ilan Lishmo. So Rashi writes that when it used to be that when a king had a son, so they would plant a tree in honor of the son. And Rashi quotes a beautiful minhag that when the son is ready to take over the throne, so now this is 18 years later, so you have a tree, 18 years of age, so you cut down the tree and you make from that tree the throne for the new king. That's one description of the minhag. And I guess, meaning, and the Mishnah is telling us he shouldn't do it, meaning, according to Rashi, it means that we mimic, to a certain degree, we mimic that minhag. Lishna achrina ilan gadol hasimach al haaretz l'tayel hamelech tachtav v'domelo be'erivin. Or another possibility, says Rashi, is we're talking about a tree that we're planting not because we want its fruit, but simply because we want its shade. Meaning we want to create a park-like environment, and we want to create shade, and so therefore we plant a tree for no purpose other than just a shade. That's Netiyah Shel Simcha, that's planting out of joy. Another possibility of what the Mishnah means. Okay. She'ela Shalom. Again, if we're in the middle of a drought, and we fasted all these 13 fasts, and nothing happened, so we no longer extend Shalom Aleichem to people. Tanu Rabbanan Chaverim, Ein She'ela Shalom Beineihem. Now, Chaverim is the description of people who are just careful about how they perform Halacha. So they don't say, they don't give each other Shalom Aleichem. Again, it's in the middle of the year of a drought. Amayar, Shalom Machzirin, Bat Lahem Besafa, Rafa, Uve Kovid, Rosh. Now, when Amayar comes over to you, and it's a year of drought, and they say Shalom Aleichem, so don't dismiss them. Don't just simply, don't not respond, but rather respond. But the Mishnah describes Safa Rafa in a low voice, and Kovid Rosh, and with your head held down, not held up. So in other words, respond, be courteous, be a mensch, but at the same time, be cognizant of the fact, maybe it's like a helpful reminder that we don't say Shalom Aleichem. I'm sure we've all had one way or another this experience on Tisha B'Av. Someone comes over to you and not totally familiar with the halacha and comes over and says hello. So ostensibly the same thing, meaning don't not respond, but do so the way the Mishnah here describes. V'hein mesatzim v'yoshin ka'avelim u'chimenudim. And they're wrapped up. Ituf is a description of being wrapped up in a talus. V'yoshin ka'avelim, and they sit like mourners. U'chimenudim. And as if they are excommunicated. Kivnei Adam and Azufin l'makom. As if a person was reprimanded by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which is obviously the case. It's a year of drought. Ashi rachm aleim and Hashemayim until Kadosh Baruch Hu has compassion. Okay, and from here until the end of the perek, basically, we're going to discuss this much more later in the Masechta, but basically, we've now been describing that the 13 fasts have come and gone, so it's a state of depression. Okay, I'm not talking clinically, but obviously it's a depressing state. Everyone's sad, and we need certain people's tefillahs. And so basically now the discussion from here until the end of the parak is going to be, to what degree can you give up your kavod in order to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu? We've seen a number of times in Tanakh that great people sometimes fall down on their face. Nefilas apayim. Right? Nefilas apayim, we're familiar with that term when it comes to tachanun. Right? Tachanun, nefilas apayim. So what do we do? We don't really fall down on our faces. I'm sure you've noticed. Right? We take our arm, we put our head down on our arm. Okay? That's what we do nowadays, but that's not the original nefilas apayim. The original nefilas apayim is actually to fall down on your face, meaning to get down on the floor. Similar to ishtachavaya. And kriya, meaning we saw in Tanakh people tearing their clothing. So to what degree can you engage in these very serious types of davenings, even though it'll be pchas covered, it'll diminish your honor? So that's the discussion that we're going to be having basically from here until the end of the parak. Amar Rav Elazar, Ein adam chashuv asher li pol panav, ela im kenena ki Yehoshua ben Nun. So you want to engage in the nefilas apayim, and you're an adam chashuv, you're a leader of the Jewish community, so you can't do it unless you're going to be answered. Meaning it's the diminishment of your kavod, and unless you know it's going to be effective, so you shouldn't do it. Okay, I understand. I don't know how to answer the question of how do you know it's going to be effective. Okay, I guess you're at that level where you know. The Gemara here cites as an example Yeshua ben Nun Shedema. Vayamar Shem Yeshua Kum Lach Lama Zeh Tanofel Panecha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, okay, time to get up. Meaning, Nefilas Apayim, I hear you. Okay, so Yeshua was answered. So if you know you have that kind of effective davening, so then you could do it. Vayamar Rav Elazar Ein Adam Chashuv Asher Lach Gor Sak Elam Kenana Kiyaron Ben Achav. Another example of what a Jewish leader should not do is should not dress in sackcloth unless you know you're going to be answered, like Yehoram ben Achav. Now, interestingly enough, Yehoram ben Achav, king of Malchus Yisrael, generally speaking, not one of the good guys, but had a good moment. And in this good moment, so he wore sack. It was in response to a famine, and he was answered. The Gemara here quotes some of the psukim from Malachim Beis, but basically he hears some terrible stories about how people were experiencing the famine, and so he put on sackcloth, and the people saw, and they responded, and okay, meaning so if you know that you're going to have that kind of effects, so then you can put on sackcloth. I'm Rav Elazar, lo hakol b'kriya v'lo hakol b'nefila. Not everyone should be tearing kriya. Not everyone should be falling on their face. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. Yoshua v'kalev b'kriya. So Moshe and Aaron, so they engaged in nefila, in falling down on their faces. And Yoshua and Kalev, they engaged in kriya. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila d'chli v'yipol Moshe v'Aaron apaneim. So Moshe and Aaron, right, we just recently saw this back in Parsha Shlach. So the spies come back, the spies report, it's not a good report, the people start basically panic, and so their response is Nefila, and Yoshua v'Kalev v'Kriya. Now Yoshua and Kalev, so in a similar scenario, in the same scenario, so they do Kriya. D'chziv v'Yeshua b'Nun v'Kalev ben Yefuna kar b'gdeim. Okay, it's interesting, the Gemara here doesn't explain why one precludes the other, why Yoshua and Kalev don't engage in the Nefila, why Moshe and Aaron don't engage in Kriya. The Gemara doesn't give us any explanation in terms of why, and to be honest with you, neither does Rashi. Okay. Maskalor Avzeri, Vitemer Rav Shulman Nachmeni, Havaksiv Yoshua, Kedekamart. If the Pasuk would have said, Yehoshua, so then I give it to you. Hashadichsiv Vi Yehoshua. However, the Torah says Vi Yehoshua, the Vav obviously is a connector. Havaha Avid. So that means that Yeshua engaged them both. Meaning he did Nefilas Apayim like Moshe, and on top of that, he also did Kriya. V'amar Rav Elazar lo hakol b'kima v'lo hakol b'shtachavaya. Not everyone is going to stand and not everyone is going to bow. What does that mean? Rashi explains, we're talking about Lasid Lavo. Eventually what's going to happen is that the world is going to recognize the Jews. It's going to happen. And then, and in that recognition, kings... kings are going to stand in our honor, and princes are going to bow down. Now, again, the idea is that for a king, it's, in other words, even though it's a recognition of the Jews, but bowing is beneath him, so his point of recognition is just going to be to stand. Malachim b'kima dichsiv, Kamar Hashem Gal Yisrael Kedosho Livzo Nefesh Limita Evgoy Le'Eved Moshe Malachim Yiru Vekamu. So the they're going to stand, meaning that's their demonstration of recognition of the Jewish people. Asa Lavo Sarim Bishtachavaya, and the princes are going to bow down. Dichsiv Sarim Bishtachavu. So the princes are going to bow down. So Maskel Rabbi Zervi Tim Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Yavaksiv Visarim Yishtachavu Kedamar. Hashtu Dichsiv Sarim Yishtachavu Hava Haavud. So the Gemara says, it said that the Torah describes the Sarim as Yishtachavu without the Vav. It means they did both. Now it is a little bit strange because the Gemara previously had the connecting Vav by Yoshua and assumed that he did both because of the connecting Vav. Here the Gemara is going the other way. Without the Vav, it's therefore assumed that the Sarim is going to do both. And that obviously is a little bit difficult to understand. I don't have a good approach. And one last note to this discussion: not everyone is going to enjoy the light, and not everyone is going to enjoy the simcha. Meaning that there are going to be rewards. Some are going to receive light. Some is going to receive simcha. Don't look to me to help you understand. Light, simcha, the difference between light and simcha. I'll show you Rashi in just a moment, but anyway, tzaddikim la'ora v'yisharim l'simcha. Tzaddikim are going to enjoy the light, but yisharim, those who are straight, are going to enjoy simcha, they're going to experience joy. Tzaddikim la'ora d'chsiv v'orzeru la'tzaddik, u'li'sharim simcha d'chsiv, u'li'shrei lev simcha. It's okay, right? The pasuk kind of gives it away that the tzaddikim enjoy light and the yisharim enjoy simcha. Rashi says the last Rashi at the end of the perek. So Rashi says yisharim l'simcha, the yisharim adifei mitzaddikim. Those who are yashar are better than tzaddikim. Okay, so I'm at a loss at really explaining a yashar. Yashar is a reference to a straight person. Tzaddik, generally speaking, you would say the same thing. So what exactly makes a yasher better than a tzaddik? I don't know. And I also don't know, just a lot of admissions, if I don't know, and I also don't know what's the difference therefore between or and simcha. Right? Some experience of asid lavo, where the tzaddik enjoys the or and the yasher enjoys the simcha, and obviously, based on this Rashi, the simcha obviously is a more intense experience than that of or. After that point in time, I'm totally at a loss. We finished the perek, and we move on. Hadralach Me'emesai, and we now start the second perek of the Masechta. Okay, Seder Tanios. Our Mishnah over here, our second perek, the Gemara mentioned this point earlier, but now we get to say it because we're now starting the second perek. So our second perek now is going to be more details in terms of the actual observance of these fasts. Okay, as we have already stated, if it stops raining and then, I'm sorry, stops raining, it never started raining. Right, Cheshvan has come, Cheshvan has gone. It's no longer raining. First day of Kislev. So as we already pointed out, so there's a first series of fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, done by Yechidim. Done by individuals, Rabbanim, as the Gemara pointed out earlier. So they start the 3 days of fasting, and if that's not efficacious, so now we have the Tanit Sibur. Now we start with the communal fast. So the first series is going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. The second series is going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. And then there's a third series, which will be comprised of Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Thursday, Monday. It's going to take us 7 more fasts. The as we move into the 7, so obviously now they have become more and more intensified, and now the Mishnah over here is going to be giving us a description of exactly what the procedure is of that day as we are now in these intense fasts. Seder Tanyos Ketzad. So the Mishnah over here is going to give us. Now, this Mishnah is long. This Mishnah is basically going to be our daf today. You take a look at, you can turn ahead, and you'll see that most of today's daf is going to be revolving around this Mishnah. There's going to be a lot of discussion in the Gemara regarding this Mishnah. In terms of the format, I don't know why it is. It's a short parak, it's not a particularly long parak. Why it is that the... We don't usually go in the traditional format of quoting a little bit of Mishnah and commenting, a little bit of Mishnah and commenting. Why over here everything is front-loaded in the beginning of the parak, all the Mishnayos? I don't know, but okay, that's just simply the format, and obviously that's how we work. Seder Tanis Ketzan, Motzinas the Teva L'Rechov HaShe'ir. So the first thing is that we take the Teva, you take the Ark, and bring it out into the Rechov HaShe'ir, bring it into the street. Okay, that's obviously odd right away. Meaning, generally speaking, the Teva's in the Shul, the Aron's in the Shul, and we go to Shul Adavin. But because it's we're employing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're beseeching a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you take the Teva and you put it out into the street, and it definitely shows the point of desperation that we are at. V'nosnin efer mikla al gabe hateva. And then what you do is you take ashes and you put ashes on top of the aron. Now the Rashi says efer mikla, just Rashi says, the reason why the Mishnah says efer mikla is because if it just said the word efer by itself, so Rashi tells us efer could mean ashes, it could mean dirt. Efer and ofer can go either way. Ashes or dirt, either one of them are acceptable. We have a mitzvah in the Torah called kisui hadam, that after you shecht either a bird or wild animal, so you have to cover the blood. What can you use to cover the blood? So like we learned back in Chulin, you could use ashes, you could use dirt. Either one of them is fine. But over here, specifically, we need ashes. That's why the Mishnah uses the term Efer Mikla. So explains Rashi. So first thing we do is we take the Efer Mikla, we take the ashes, and you put it on top of the Teva. Uverosh HaNasi, Uverosh Av Beis Din. And you put the ashes on the head of the Nasi, that's the leader of the Jewish community, and the Av Beis Din, and the head of the Beis Din. V'chol echav echanosin berosho. And everyone then puts it on their own head as well. Hazak shemem omer lefnem divrei kavushim. And then you get the mashgiach. Now I say mashgiach because I guess that's just what we're used to in the yeshiva, meaning you get somebody who is older, who has, and he's going to speak, and he's going to say divrei kavushim. Divrei kavushim, Rashi explains, basically, though, they are pressing words. I say that literally, meaning they are going to subdue us. They're going to humble us. Achenu lo nemar banchi ninve. And the Gemara over here gives us an example of what the nasi. Sorry, not the nasi. What the zaken would say. So he says, first of all, let's turn to anchi ninve. Right. We'll turn to Sefer Yonah and let's take a look over there. Vayalo kimesh etzakam vestanisam. And it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the sackcloth, saw the fasting. Meaning those are external manifestations, but they're just external. Vayar Elohim es ma'aseim kishav medarkam. The reason why you wear sackcloth and the reason why you fast is so that you actually change your ways. That is what moved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Zaken is telling the people who are assembled in the street, it's, you know, we can wear sackcloth and we can fast, and that's correct, meaning that's all how we should behave, but really what it's supposed to do is influence and affect us to change. We have to actually change our ways. No, just ashes. Uve kabbalahu omer. Now it says in Navi, v'karu levavchem ve'al bigdeichem, v'karu levavchem ve'al bigdeichem, and you tear your heart and you tear your clothing. Now, it's interesting, and Rashi makes this point, and that is, you see what just happened in the Mishnah? We're quoting the Zaken. The Zaken is telling everybody, he's giving Musar. He's reprimanding the people. So he's quoting first from Sefer Yonah, and then it says, Uve Kabbalah Hu Omer. And it says the following in Navi. And Rashi is bothered. It's interesting. Rashi quotes Tosfos. Right, that's odd. Meaning that, okay. Anyway, yeah. Stu pointed out in the beginning of the Masechta that the Rashi that we have on Tanis may not be Rashi. Maybe. Right, it might be somebody who is writing in a Rashi style, meaning obviously a Rishon. Okay, fine, and that kind of would work out well with this Tosfos. But anyway, but basically, the question goes like this: you just quoted from Sefer Yonah, right? The Zaken, and then he says, and oh, you know what it says in Navi? Meaning, what is Sefer Yonah? Sefer Yonah is also Navi. So why is he introducing the next section from Yoel, and he's introducing it as Navi? After he quoted Sefer Yonah, which is also Navi as well. So that's so Rashi cites the Tosfos, and it bothers him, and it's a good question, and he gives the following answer. And I'm reading now in Rashi, from the in the middle of the Rashi, So velo karele divrei kabbalah uva haikra divrei karele vavchem karele kabbalah uparik. So he answers like this: Rashi divrei maskel uva kabbalah. So Rashi writes, I'm reading Rashi inside. Uparik il komakum shanavi mitzave umodia umasir tisrael karele kabbalah. Now, when the navi is instructing the Jewish people how to behave, so we call that kabbalah, meaning that's not just navi story, that's navi instruction, mitzvah. Meaning he's telling the people, here's what you need to do, and here's what you need to do. And so that's called Navi. However, Sefer Yonah is a story. Now, it's not just a story, obviously. It's in Tanakh. There's what we have to learn from it, obviously. What we read on Yom Kippur, obviously. There's what to learn from it. But it's presented to us in a storyline. So therefore, Rashi writes, that's why in the Mishnah it's not referred to as Kabbalah, because it's not direct instruction where the Navi's telling us, here's what you need to do. Rather, it's a story about, right, you probably heard, right, a guy going to Nineveh, actually he's trying to get away, because whatever, right, we all know the story. So, but anyway, but it's not direct instruction, and that's why Rashi says it's not referred to as Kabbalah. Okay. Anyway, back to the Mishnah. Kiru levavchem ve'albegdechem. Amdu betfilah maridim lefnei hateva. So now they start davening, and who goes and davens for the Amud? Okay. Zaken ve'ragel. So, a number of qualifications in order to daven for the Amud on the fast day. So number one, Zaken, he's got to be older. Okay, right. Age, maybe the Gemara is going to discuss it. Ragil. Ragil, says Rashi, means he knows the Nusach well. I don't mean tunes, although maybe I do, but Rashi writes, he knows the words. He's not going to trip up on the words. Not to add any added pressure to the Bali Tefillah, but the Rashi says that if you're davening for the Amud and you make a mistake in the words, so that's not a good thing. In fact, if you'd like to hear Rashi inside, Rashi writes, Ragil is followed with Tefillah, so Shigur Befiv, V'lo yit'eh shekochaz and shetoa siman ra l'sholchav. Rashi says if the shliach sibur makes a mistake as he's davening for the amud, that's a bad sign for the sibur. Okay, so yeah, that's how Rashi understands the word rago. It means he's got to be comfortable with the words. V'yesh lo banim, he's got to have children. In other words, he's not gonna if he's having children, so it gives you a built-in sense of sympathy. Ubeso rekam. Beso rekam. So the Gemara is going to explain that later on. Rashi over here foreshadows the Gemara later on. Rashi writes, Mashma dehu ani ve'en lo michya bebeso. So we want someone who is in financial trouble. Once again, the reason why is that he's going to be more inspired to daven. So that's one possibility in terms of what Beso Reka means. Rashi quotes the Gemara later on. The Gemara later on says, another possibility, Beso Reka, he's got no skeletons in his closet. Rashi, I'm paraphrasing obviously, Rashi says, Taim achrina v'gufonaki, me'aver shalochet v'lo yatsa alav shum shemra b'shum avera. He has a sterling reputation. So that's another possibility of what Beso Reka means. Kidei she'elibo shalem b'tfilah. So now his heart is going to be full with tefillah, meaning that this is an excellent candidate to daven for the Amud. And what does he say? He says 24 brachas. Now we alluded to this earlier, but this is the Mishnah, this is where we learn that on the final seven fast days, so it's not Shmon Esrei, it's not 18 brachas for Shmon Esrei, but rather it's 24. Yudchesh b'chol yom, so it's 18 brachas like we normally daven Shmon Esrei. We made this point just yesterday, but just to reiterate, obviously our Shmon Esrei has a 19th bracha, which was inserted later on. Rabbi Gamliel Ubeisto, Ubeisdino. But in the meantime, however, we still refer to our Shmon Esrei, so it's 18 brachas, and we're going to add six more. And these are the additional six. So here's how the Mishnah is going to be formatted. The Mishnah is going to quickly run through the six additional brachos, and then we're going to go through them in more detail. So I'm going to just quickly run through the next couple lines of the Gemara, Because anyway, the Mishnah is going to flesh it out even more. So number one, Zichronos. Number two, Shofros. Number three, El Hashem B'tzaras Ali, Karasi V'aneni. Number four, Esayin Al Harim. Number five, Imam Makim Karasich Hashem. Number six, Tfila La'ani Kiyatov. Okay, those are the six additional brachas. Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Hayot Tzarech Lomar Zichronos V'Shofros. Rav Yehuda said, not Zichronos, not Shofros, so take those out. Ela Omer Tachtem, and in its place, what you should say is, Rav Kiyah Ba'aretz Dvar Kiyah, I'm sorry, Dever Kiyah, Asher Ya Dvar Hashem El Yirmiyahu Dvar Abed Saros. Okay, V'Omer Chos Mehem. And then the Mishnah says, okay, good. So in other words, machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda, in terms of what the six are, the Tanakhama has the Chornos and Shofros, just like Rosh Hashanah, and Rav Yehuda says, take those out, they don't belong on a fast day, and replace them with psukim from Yirmiyahu, paragraphs from Yirmiyahu. Okay. And Ve'omer Chos Mehem. And then, as you conclude each one of the additional brachas, so then there's going to be a chasima. Like all the brachos of Shemona Esrei, there's a paragraph that deals with a particular theme, and at the end there's a chasima, Baruch Ata Hashem, and then in a very short formula, you give a short synopsis of what the theme of that paragraph was. That's called the chasima. Now, here we go. We're going to go through all six. Now, not to be confused, the Mishnah over here is going to give us a list of seven brachos. So Rashi says, don't get confused, because here's the format. What it is that the first bracha we're about to read is actually Gal Yisrael. Gal Yisrael is the seventh bracha of Shemona Esrei. And what happens on the fast day, on these last seven, is that this bracha of Gal Yisrael gets an extension. It is modified a little bit, meaning what basically we're asking for is Geula, we're asking for redemption. And so therefore, this, what the Mishnah here is describing now as bracha number one, is not really an additional bracha, it's bracha number seven of Gal Yisrael being modified for the fast day.
Do we know if these six brachas are
by
Gedolah or by later generation?
I don't know. All right, it's a reasonable question. I don't know. And meaning, we're going to see in Megillah that the Shemona Esrei is like, you know, it's like its format is so instituted. It's, you know, it's a takana. So generally speaking, we don't have the right to make any of these changes. So I'm only guessing, but I would imagine that it was part of the Anshe Knesset Gadol institution, but it's just a guess on my part. Al Rishona Hu Omer. So what do you say on the Rishona? What do you say on the first bracha? So again, this is Gal Yisrael. Mishanas Avraham Bahar Maria. Hu Yana Eschem Vishma Kol Tzakaschem. Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to Avraham and Har Maria, and he should answer you and your cries. And that's a reference to Geula. Okay, and that's the, so again, it's number one, but it's not really number one. It's Gal Yisrael, which is extended, mentioning Avram, how he was saved, and of course, Baruch, please save us as well. Okay, number two. Now again, I say number two, this is the first of the additional six. But now we also know where it's placed, meaning these six additional brachas are placed between brachas number seven and eight, in Shemona Esrei. Al Shnei Omer Mishanas Avasena Yam Suf Hu Yana Eschem Vishma Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Hazeh Bracha Hashem Zocher Nishkachos. So this is a bracha of what we referred to earlier, Zichronos. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you remember the Jewish people as they cross Yam Suf, so please remember us as well. Rashi points out over here, what does that mean? You remember the Jews by Yam Suf. So Rashi points out, because in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, I remember, right, Ve'ezkor es brisi. So in order for us, first, Akash Baruch Hu to save us, he, quote-unquote, has to remember us. Again, to the best of our understanding, obviously, but now, there has to be a zichronos. There has to be, Akash Baruch Hu has to remember us. The next bracha is the truos, the shofros. And what do we invoke in this paragraph of shofar? So we invoke Yoshua. Okay? Yericho, shofar, we were saved. Good. Bracha now number four. And again, remember, four is really three. Third additional bracha. על הרביעי סבור אומר מי שנעש שמוע במצבו יענה אתכם וישמע בכל צעקה אתכם היום הזה ברוך את השם שומע צעקה קדוש ברוך הוא listen to our cry number 5 על החמיש סבור אומר מי שנעש אליהו בהר כרמל הוא יענה אתכם וישמע בכל צעקה בכל צעקה sorry בכל צעקה אתכם היום הזה ברוך את השם שומע תפילה you remembered אליהו בהר כרמל the and Kadosh Baruch Hu, please listen to our tefillah. Shomei tefillah is already in Shemoneh Esrei, but this is the addendum.
Yes,
right, correct, and that means that there would be two Shomei tefillah endings. Correct. Alashishu Omer Mishanas Yonah B'Mei Adago Hu Yaneh Eschem V'Yishma B'Kol Tzaka Eschem Hayom Zeh Baruch Ata Hashem Ha'oneh Be'Eit Sara. Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember us in our time of need, and we invoke Yonah being saved. And finally, number 7, Al Shvi Yisru Omer, now remember, 7 and 6. So Al Shvi Yisru Omer, Mishanas David Veshlama Beno Bishalayim, Hu Yana Eschem, Vishma Bekot Tzaka Eschem, Hayam Azeh Baruch Ata Hashem, HaMerachem Al Haaretz, compassion for the land. And again, if you take a look at Rashi over here, compassion, what does that mean, compassion? So Rashi says, David asked for Rachmanis during the famine, right? Rashi quotes, Vayhi Ra'av, Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Vayhi Ra'av bimei David shalosh shanim, shana achar shana. Three consecutive years of famine during the reign of David, HaMelech, and he asked for Rachmanus and Shlomo. So, two possibilities, says Rashi. Either number one, when the Aron was brought into the Kodesh HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for Rachmanus, right? We have Gemaras that speak to, it wasn't that easy for the Aron to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Or another possibility is, again, during Shlomo's time, there was also another famine, and he asked for Rachmanis as well. Okay. Adkan. We've gone through now the first Amud of today's daf, and basically, aside from finishing the previous perek, so now we are, the Mishnah give us a detailed description of what davening looked like during the third series of the fasts, where it would be in the middle of the street, teva taken out, ashes put on, the leadership, on the head of the leadership, and divrei kavushim, right, words of humility and really get us into the mood, and then shliach tzibur, who is qualified, and he davens for the amud, and six additional brachas that are placed into the Shemoneh Esrei, between brachas 7 and 8 in the Shemoneh Esrei. There are only reason why I don't think so is because in the long list there was Zichronos and there were Shofros, which according to Rabbi Yehuda you take them out. So Mimamakim is a reference to Yonah.
No, but do we
Actually, Rashi says you actually say the Pesukim.
So when did they say it?
So in other words, there were the Pesukim that you said,
and then the Bracha.
And then the Bracha, right? It's just like on Rosh Hashanah. Meaning on Rosh Hashanah, Rashi says that. Like just like on Rosh Hashanah, we say a whole series of Pesukim, and then there's a paragraph, and then there's a Chasima, so it's the same thing over here. Okay. Maisa bimei Rabbi Chalafta Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon. The Gemara tells now an episode, the Mishnah, I should say, tells an episode during the days of Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chanan ben Trajon. Rabbi Chalafta was the father of Rabbi Yossi. So says Rashi on the bottom of Amud Aleph. So a story with Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanan ben Trajon. Rabbi Chanan ben Trajon, one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. Sha'avar echad lefnei ateva v'gamras habracha kula v'lo anu acharav amen. So it was a fast day, Tanit Sibor, extra brachas, and then when they got to the end, so they didn't answer Amen. Now why should that be? Let me ask the question a little bit differently. Where else do we see that he didn't answer Amen to a bracha? In the Beis HaMikdash. But this was not in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that means then that this was a controversial move. V'lo anu acharav Amen. Tiku akohanim v'tiku. Then they instructed to blow in the shofar. Mishanas Avram Avinu Bahar Maria Hu Yaneh Eschem V'Yishma B'Kol Tzachachem Hayom Hazeh Hariu B'nei Aaron Hariu Trua mishana savasena yam sufu yanaetzchem vishma bekol tzatzchem hayam azeh. So in other words, basically, instead of saying amen, they responded with kind of like a, you know, like a give take. It was like a pizmon, right? They said the bracha, and the response was, instead of saying amen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who answers Avraham, please answer us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who answers Yehoshua, please answer us. So, So now the matter came in front of the Chachamim, meaning appropriate or not appropriate. Amru lo hayinu noagin kein ala b'shar mizr chavahar abayis. So their response was, no, that's inappropriate. Meaning the idea of not answering amen, that's limited to the Beis Hamikdash, or in the area of the Har Habayis. There you don't say amen, but in the outside the Beis Hamikdash, after you hear the end of a bracha, the appropriate response is amen. Rashi points out it wasn't reprimanding the blowing of the shofar. The blowing of the shofar, that's a given. Rashi writes, of course you blow shofar. The thing that's not done is the not saying amen. Okay, Shal Shanias Rishonos. We spoke about this idea earlier, but the Mishnah here now speaks about the following. You have Kohanim working in the Beis Hamikdash, okay? And it was done on a system. The system we've spoken about a number of times. Quickly to review, the Kohanim were broken up into 24 Mishmaros, meaning all the families of the Kohanim are divided and assigned to one Mishmar. There are 24 in total. In that Mishmar, so they would work a week in the Beis Hamikdash, from Shabbos to Shabbos. That week they worked in the Beis Hamikdash, then that Mishmar was even further subdivided into what's called the Bate Av, the Beis Av. And that Mishmar then is divided into, now I'm going to say six, even though I know Rashi on today's daf says seven, but generally speaking, Rashi says six. Okay, so that Mishmar is divided into six, and then each Beis Av is assigned to a day. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the Mishmar is subdivided into six Bate Av. Each Beis Av works on one given day. So therefore, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash with your Mishmar, so you as a Kohen would know exactly which day of the week you're going to be working. Okay. However, as Rashi points out over here on the Daf, even if you're not working that day, but if you're part of that Mishmar, so that means that you're on call. If for whatever reason there's a lot of activity in the Beis HaMikdash and they need more help, so you're going to get the phone call. So if you're part of the Mishmar and you're not working that day, but there's a chance that you're going to be working that day. Okay. Now, obviously, doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is of primary importance. And so therefore, basically what the Mishnah is going to tell us is that even if it's the Tanit Sibur, and even though the community is fasting, but if you're a Kohen and you're working in the Beis HaMikdash, so you're afforded a leniency so that you can successfully do the Avodah. You will have the strength to do the Avodah. Somewhat of an irony that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, obviously, is going to be in a position where he won't be able to eat. Okay, but there, it's Yom Kippur. It's a fast as Min HaTorah. So, okay, there's nothing to talk about. But in these Tanit Sibur that are imposed by the Chachamim, so therefore, the Kohanim are afforded a certain leniency. The Mishnah over here records a machlokus in terms of the extent of that leniency. Shal Shanias Rishonos. So if it's the first three fasts, Anshe Mishmar, Matanim V'lo Mashlemim, so if you remember the Mishmar that's working that week, it happens not to be your day, but it's your week, so you start fasting, but you don't have to finish the fast. Remember, we've had this expression before. It means that in the morning you'll skip breakfast, maybe even lunch, but you don't have to fast the whole day. Anshe Beis Av Lo Hayu Matanim Klal. Now, if you were working that actual day, so then you didn't fast at all. In other words, you wouldn't even skip breakfast because you're doing the Avodah. Now, you move on to the second three, which again is more intensified. So the Anshe Mishmar are going to fast, even though they're on call. And the Anshe Beis Av are going to fast, start fasting, but don't finish the fast. Sheva Achronos. Now you move to the last seven, the most intense series of fasts. Elav Elam Matanim Umashlemim. So everybody would fast both the Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Beis Av. Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua. So that is Rav Yehoshua's position. V'chachamim omrim. Now basically, we're going to see it's a machlokus, and to make it easier to digest, basically the chachamim are going to be more lenient. Meaning, all the categories that we're doing are going to be the same, but with more leniency. Chachamim omrim. So for the first three, both the Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Beisav would not fast at all. You move to the second three, so the Anshe Mishmar would start the fast but not finish. The Anshe Beisav, those who were working that day in the Beis Hamikdash, wouldn't fast at all. And Sheva Achronos, Anshe Mishmar Matanim Mashlimim, Anshe Beisav Matanim V'lo Mashlimim. And then you move to the final seven, the Anshe Mishmar would fast, the Anshe Beisav would start fasting but not finish the fast. Okay. Anshe Mishmar Mutarim Lishos Yain Balelos. Rashi points out that at this point in the Mishnah, we're no longer talking about a fast day, we're just talking about as long as we were on the topic of Mishmar and Anshe Beisav. So the Mishnah over here now tells us just general practices of the Kohanim that week. So your Anshe Mishmar, so first of all, we all know that a Kohen cannot drink and do the Avoda. Okay, that's Shtui Yayin, a Kohen who's drunk and does the Avoda, Chayv Misa. Okay, an example of that would be possibly Nadav Aviyu. Okay, one of the possibilities in terms of why it is they died while doing the Avoda. Right, the Torah doesn't say. Rashi brings down, right, we all know. Medrash brings down a number of reasons. One of them may be that they were drunk. Anyway, you cannot drink and do the avoda. Anshe Mishmar mutar lishtos yayin balelos. The Anshe Mishmar can drink at night. Now again, Anshe Mishmar means that you're in the Beis Hamikdash that week, but it's not your day. So you're on call. So can you drink while on call? Okay, doctors in the room. you know that feeling. So the... So they can drink at night. Now, why at night are they allowed to drink? So Rashi says, Rashi gives a couple of explanations, but Rashi says, Balelos, Ein lachu shema tichvar avoda sharei romi ba'erev, shepasku karbanos v'lo kavda ha'avoda, sheyaviyo rov karbanos v'lo yaspiku b'nei, beis av shel oso ayom, v'tzrichim elu l'saymam, v'harei einam ruyim la'avoda mishum shechros. Meaning because by nighttime, you're going to know whether or not you're needed or not. Meaning you'll survey what the day was like. It's not your day anyway. And so therefore, that by that night, the night after the day, so you'll know I'm not going to be needed. So you want to drink wine that night? You can do so. But not during the day. Anshe beis av lo bayom v'lo balayla. Now, if you're working that day, you can't drink that day, nor can you drink the following night. And Rashi points out, why not the following night, right? The day's over. Rashi says, the day might be over, but your work may not be done, right? Evarim u'pedarim, limbs and fats of the animal that have not yet gone onto the Mizbeach, need to be put onto the Mizbeach. That is the base of that day's responsibility. And so therefore, the night after, they're still working, therefore no drinking. Anshe Mishmar v'Anshe Ma'amad Asurim Melesaper u'melechabes. The Anshe Mishmar and the Anshe Ma'amad, Mamados, Rashi tells us, wait till the fourth parak. We'll talk about it later on. So they cannot get a haircut, nor can they do laundry during their week of work. On Thursday, however, they can. Okay. We're out of time. Okay, let's stop over here. Obviously, I'd like to have gone to the end of the Mishnah, but okay, we're going to start Megillas Tanis. Tomorrow we'll start right with Megillas Tanis. And we'll finish up the daf tomorrow.